Ever notice how your three-year-old's face lights up when you simply smile at them? Not because it's sweet, but because it's rare? That moment of shock hit hard for one mother during bedtime. "That makes me so happy to hear, Mama," her daughter exclaimed when told she made her smile. The reaction wasn't joy, it was relief. Had constant irritation become so normal that basic happiness seemed newsworthy? This gut punch realization sparked a deeper question. When did motherhood become something to survive rather than embrace? We've normalized maternal discontent through endless memes about wine as mommy juice and coffee dependency. We laugh at portrayals of mothers hiding in bathrooms, counting minutes until bedtime. But these aren't just jokes. They're dangerous narratives that keep us living far below the joy intended for motherhood. The challenge isn't escaping motherhood to find happiness elsewhere. It's taking a holiday from being grumpy mom by confronting the misconceptions fueling our discontent. Picture this: dispensing sage parenting advice one minute, exploding over spilled juice the next. One husband confronted his wife about this whiplash. "How can you give such good advice, but then lose it over nothing?" The question exposed a blind spot. While prioritizing spiritual disciplines like Bible reading and prayer, emotional health had been completely neglected. Here's the cultural lie we've swallowed. Maternal emotional instability is normal, even expected. One mother, discovering her second child would be a girl, felt bad for her husband, assuming their house would be wall-to-wall tears or giggles, always cranked to 11. This misconception damages both mothers and daughters by normalizing volatility rather than teaching healthy emotional processing. What if emotions aren't wild stallions that buck us around? They're indicators, signals to look deeper while choosing a different reality. The practical shift involves recognizing emotional patterns that trigger us, preparing for them with scripture, and excavating emotions by asking, "What do they want me to do?" versus "What truth should guide my actions?" This transforms motherhood from an emotional roller coaster to a journey of steady, grace-filled presence. After a brutal month of sick children and disrupted schedules, a friend delivered balloons for the pity party with tough love advice: "Shake it off." The moment revealed a serious truth: our expectations for control directly impact maternal joy. The biggest flexibility challenge? Nap schedules dictating work hours. When important tasks get interrupted, frustration builds on the belief that our work can't wait. But Proverbs 19:21 offers perspective. "You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail." This perspective shift is revolutionary. Rather than seeing children as inconveniences, recognize them as divine interruptions, not obstacles to our purpose, but central to it. Flexibility reflects Jesus, selfless, loving, and demonstrating surrender to God's plans. Before reacting to interruptions, evaluate: is this about protecting my children's souls or just my pride? We treasure comforts like massages and hot baths, becoming defensive when threatened. Yet Jesus rarely spoke about comfort. His followers often faced beatings and imprisonment instead. This disconnect reveals our greatest frustration in motherhood: believing we should be comfortable. The world says contentment comes from comfort, but God promises to be our comfort in affliction, not to make life itself comfortable. Consider the well-intentioned Facebook post telling mothers to give themselves grace if they don't make it to church. Though meant to encourage, it implies church attendance is optional, based on comfort level. The bigger our sense of entitlement, the smaller our sense of gratitude. When we feel entitled to clean floors or quiet time, any disruption leaves us feeling let down. Philippians 1:29-30 reminds us that suffering develops proven character. When comfort becomes our singular mission, we forget this life is temporary. The depth of our love for earthly comforts will be directly proportional to our devastation when they're taken away. When a daughter's irregular heartbeat emerged shortly after a cousin's heart-related death, fear spiraled into worst-case scenarios. The harmless condition revealed how quickly fear overtakes reason. Caregiving means doing for others what they cannot do themselves. Caretaking assumes your way is the only way and prevents growth. The peanut butter beast example illustrates this. Rationing peanut butter for a daughter's apple snacks despite her capability. This control stems from fear of mess, but creates more work while hindering development. Finding peace requires recognizing our smallness before God's greatness. Psalm 121 reminds us God is powerful enough to create everything, yet personal enough to watch over daily lives. Fear of our children's death often reveals a deeper issue, believing they couldn't survive without us, which is ultimately about control and pride. Studies show 85% of our worries never materialize. Prayer transfers concerns to God rather than hoarding them as our burden. Motherhood has become an unspoken competition of self-sacrifice, with pride as the central obstacle. Mothers interpret rest as weakness, feeling guilty for basic human needs. Yet Jesus deliberately withdrew for prayer despite endless crowds seeking healing. Self-care isn't merely permissible, but essential stewardship of God-given resources. One destructive pattern emerges, deliberately refusing help to accumulate relationship credits, emotional banking where sacrifice becomes currency. Like declining a husband's offer to take the children, only to claim moral high ground during later disagreements. Social pressure compounds this. Fear of appearing too composed when other mothers visibly struggle, leading to deliberate dishevelment to fit in. All or nothing thinking sabotages self-care. The false belief that without a full spa day, we shouldn't take any breaks at all. Matthew 5:3-8 emphasizes that acknowledging limitations creates space for God's grace, reframing self-care from luxury to necessary practice. Distinguish between genuine refreshment and pseudo-refreshing activities, mindless smartphone scrolling versus reading a physical book or walking without headphones. Let children witness our work and participate in household tasks, rather than creating perpetual Disney-like experiences. The nap time cocktail, a daily ritual of sneaking chocolate during children's nap time to cope with exhaustion. A nutrition reset revealed the truth. Chocolate had become an idol. Breaking free only transferred the addiction to binge-watching television, exposing a pattern of seeking comfort in temporary fixes rather than lasting satisfaction. This cycle of substituting crutches, social media scrolling, online shopping, endless coffee, masks a deeper spiritual hunger only God can satisfy. Luke 6:48 through 49 teaches that a house built on rock withstands floods, while one on sand collapses. Without roots in God's word, mothers are easily swept away. The goal isn't escaping difficulties or abandoning pleasures, it's daily redirecting our hearts to God, treating chocolate or social media as gifts from God rather than gods themselves. Consider, if your Bible and your favorite crutch were sinking in quicksand, which would you save? Our stress behaviors reveal true dependencies. Esau traded his birthright for stew, letting physical hunger override spiritual heritage. Daniel refused the king's rich food, honoring God despite consequences, demonstrating that true nourishment flows through the Lord, not around him. In a world normalizing maternal burnout through wine memes and coffee dependencies, the most radical act is choosing joy in the mundane. Not Instagram perfect joy, but deep satisfaction from recognizing motherhood as sacred calling. Transformation isn't about vacations or empty nests, it's daily choosing divine interruptions over inconveniences, eternal purpose over endless tasks, and God's supernatural strength over depleted reserves.